Well, let's pray before we begin our study and before we begin to experience the beginnings of God's breakthrough for us. Join me in prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, tonight we're beginning a special series, 40 Days of Good News. Could you say that with me? 40 Days of Good News. I was in Philadelphia this week working with a small team with the IAMCS, the International Alliance of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues, and I had some time Tuesday morning in prayer up there. And I was praying for our congregation and praying for what God would lead us into from now through the end of the year. And the Holy Spirit spoke that phrase to me, 40 days of good news. And he challenged me to start tonight building your faith up for the victories that God wants and having time after each service, at least on Friday nights. We'll see what holds for Saturday. I don't yet know what tomorrow's going to look like. But I believe this, the Lord wants to encourage you, he wants to heal you, he wants to provide for you, he wants to break through for you, and not only does he want to do that for you, he wants to put faith and courage into you so that you can speak this to other people and you can pray for other people too. He wants to use you to pray for other people so that other people will be healed. So that other people will have breakthroughs. Sometimes people don't want to pray for someone else until they've already received everything that they need for themselves. But you know, that's not a good practice. Isaiah 58 tells us, if you will spend yourself on behalf of the needy, then God's blessings will rise up in your life. I was with someone this week who said that he was praying for other people who had heart problems because he had a heart problem. And he said, pray for one another that you would be healed. He said, I pray for other people so that I'll be healed too. You see, there are times when you need to take your eyes off of yourself and focus on other people and pray for their victory. But there are other times when you need to stand in faith yourself and experience the victory that God wants to give you. Now, there are times, I believe, when God reveals himself to people who are seeking after him with all of their heart. And there are other times when he just shows up because he's ready to do something for that person. Do you remember that Moses was out in the wilderness minding business? What was his business? He was a shepherd. He was just taking care of the flock. And he was out there on that mountain, and he saw an unusual sight. It was a bush that was burning but wasn't consumed. And because he was curious, he went towards it, and that's when the Lord started speaking to him. It wasn't for Moses this grand spiritual motivation. He was curious, and he moved forward because of that curiosity. Now, the night that Jacob went to sleep with a rock for a pillow turned out to be a night of good news for him. It turned out to be a night where God came to him, even though Jacob wasn't looking for God at that moment. So if you have your Bibles, open up to this week's Torah portion, Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10. It says, Jacob went from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night, because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones out of that place, and he put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep, and then he dreamed. And behold, the ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. You will spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. You see, this is a moment when Jacob is, in a sense, leaving the land of his fathers, and he's going back to where they came from. He's trying to get away from the conflict, the difficulty he's having with his brother. He's trying to pursue a wife. He's looking for his own future, but he doesn't have a grand plan for himself. He goes to bed outdoors, and he takes for a pillow a stone. And that's when he dreams, and it's not just the regular dream, it's a spiritual dream in which God reveals himself to Jacob. And not only does God reveal himself in words, he makes himself visible, because it says that the Lord stood in a certain place above the ladder. And so Jacob in his dream saw the Lord in a certain place. Do you get that? I hope you noticed that before. He saw the Lord in the dream. The Lord made himself visible. And then the Lord began to speak to him. And basically said, Jacob, you are standing together with your forefathers. The Lord said that the promises that he had made to Abraham and Isaac were for Jacob too. The land was promised to Abraham. Do you know that the guys in Gaza believe that part? The land was promised to Abraham. Abraham, Ishmael, and so on, as they understand it. But here, the Lord says his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. And not only does the Lord promise the land, he promises descendants. And this is to an unmarried man, right? Now, there are some of you who are looking for a spouse, and you're looking for children, and God wants to encourage you today. You will get married. And then there's one more thing that's promised to Jacob. And that is that Jacob will be a blessing. His descendants, it says, your seed in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Jacob is going to be a blessing. Now, for someone caught up in conflict and an uncertain future, it's not always easy to believe that they're going to be a blessing to others, that other people will perceive them that way. But God is saying to Jacob what he said to Abraham. And so Jacob understands something now. The promises that were made to his grandfather apply to him too. And I want to tell you something. Some of you, you don't know what to do with the promises of God. You believe in some way that God wants to bless you, but you've had hard times and you've had difficulties and you've thought, well, maybe those blessings are for other people. And you need an experience. You need your faith stirred up. You need to be strengthened in your faith in God so that you can know this, that it's promised to you too, that God wants to bless you also. It's not just for others, it's for you too. And then verse 28, verse 15, takes it to even a more personal level. The Lord says, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. The Lord says, I am with you. He says, Anochi imcha. Say that with me. Anochi imcha. I am with you. That's, interestingly, our Hebrew words for the week. I am with you, and I will watch over you. When God says that to Jacob, he's using the same root that we use in our prayer, the Aaronic benediction, where that one phrase, Vayishmarecha, and watch over us or protect us. And the Lord says, I am going to do this. Ushmartecha, I will watch over you. I will protect you. I will be your watchman. I'll be your night guard. Can you imagine that God made that promise to Jacob? And he makes that promise like that to you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to protect you. Maybe other people have let their shield down or their guard down and haven't protected you the way you need. But God says, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. That's why all last week I was praying, Lord, you are Magen Avraham. You're the shield of Abraham. Reveal yourself as the shield of Abraham to all of Israel. I'll be your night guard. The Lord says, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to keep watch for you. And then he says, I'll bring you back to this land. It was a promise for all the Jewish people. He says, I will not leave you. Now, what I want you to see next is Jacob's response. The first part of his response is amazement. It says in verse 16, Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, for sure the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. And he was afraid. And he said, this place is awesome. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You see, God had come to Jacob. It was on his initiative. Sometimes you have to search for God, but sometimes God will find you. How many of you got found by God? How many of you can declare, God found me? Some of you were good. You're good people, and you were searching for God. Or you were raised in a believing home, and so you were taught from your very youth to believe in God. But for some of us, we didn't even know to look for him. And he looked for us, and he found us. And we were minding our own business, some of us, doing what we do. And then we found out that God is real. And that God is present. You see, it's one thing to believe that there is a God. It's another thing to believe that God is real, he's personal, and he comes to be with you and to be present with you and to do great things. How is it that we can live our lives and we can be so close-minded and even unaware of the presence of God? Jacob was unaware. When he went to sleep, he didn't think, this is an awesome place. The Holy Spirit is here. This is a good place to find God. He thought, it's dark. I can't go on any further. How can I sleep? Well, there's a rock. I'll use that for a pillow. You know, this is really low rent. You understand what I'm saying? And some of you, I think, tonight, some who are listening by podcast, you've been going along on your own, doing what you do, not mindful of the presence of the Lord, not mindful of the reality of God. And tonight, it's time to open your eyes, to open your heart and your mind, because God wants to do great things for you. When God gave Jacob that dream, he still had to respond to it. Some people say, well, if God gave me a dream like that, I'd follow him too. But you know what? It's amazing how many people have supernatural experiences and manifestations of God, and they know it, and then they do nothing with it. It's our responsibility to decide what we're going to do. God wants to do great things for Jacob. That's what he's telling him. But he's looking, the Lord's looking not just for enthusiasm, he's looking for more. And that's why Jacob's second response, the second part of his response, is also so interesting. Genesis 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a promise. And he said, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. You see, he's saying that Hashem will be my God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to honor him. I'll praise him. I will walk with him. I will follow him. If he is faithful to me the way he says he will be, He will surely be my God, and I will surely follow him, and I will give him my tithes, my tenths. I'm not going to keep them for myself. I'm not going to give them to others. So this night was not just a night of amazement. It was a night of commitment too. The night that Jacob went to sleep with a rock for a pillow, he would never forget. That's why he starts this passage by saying, I was out there in the dark, and I found a stone to put my head on. He never forgot that. He told his sons. That detail got passed down all the way to Moses. Think about this. Written down for you and me to pay attention to. This was a night where God revealed himself and told Jacob he would watch over him and bring provision to him and be present with him. And it was a night of good news for Jacob. How many of you need a night of good news tonight? You need victory from God. You need breakthroughs. Or how many of you know you've got good news, but you want to be used effectively by other people to bring good news to them? You want to pray for people. You want to see them have victories. Do you know you can only criticize people so far, but you cannot criticize them into the kingdom? How many of you knew that? You can lead them to God, but you can't criticize them enough to get them into the kingdom of God. God can reveal himself to them. That can bring them in. And God can draw people to himself even when they're not intent on being drawn. That's what happened to me. I was not an easy one to cooperate with. I was not doing my best. I told the Lord if he revealed himself to me, I would follow him. And then when he did, I was hedging. Have you ever made a promise to God and then God fulfilled his part and then you had to review your promise? I remember decades ago, my brother Mark was living in Israel in Kfar Shmariah. He was living with a family while he was attending American high school there. It was his senior year, and there was conflict over there then. And there were bombs being dropped, and missiles and rockets and gunfire and all sorts. And I remember one morning I was just afraid for my brother's well-being, and I woke up that morning, I started praying for him, and I promised God that if he protected Mark, you know, I would do all these things and stop doing all these other things. And then when I got the news, everything stopped and Mark's okay and the conflict's over, I thought, yeah, that's good. But I wasn't so ready when I wasn't so desperate. And I hedged a little bit on some things. Have you ever done that? Amen. Amen. Oy vey. But you know, God didn't forget. How do I know he didn't forget? Because I still remember. Because he still reminds me. He says, you know, you tried to deal with me then. I did my part. And what about you? He's like, well, I'm still thinking about it. I was with some elderly Russian Jews a few years ago. And the Holy Spirit gave me a question to ask them, so I asked them this. I said, did you ever find yourself in a situation where you were so desperate you cried out for God to save you, and then he did save you in that situation, and then you wondered what you would do because of that? And it was interesting. One of the oldest ones said, absolutely, but you know, no one's ever asked me that question. And I said, well, tell me what happened. And he was fighting with the Russian army. It was at a time when everyone was taught you cannot believe in God. And they were under attack in World War II. And they thought for sure they were all going to die. And he said, every one of the soldiers who was with him, they all stopped and they prayed. And they prayed to God. And they asked God to protect them. And do you know what? He protected them and not one of them died at that time. And so I said, so did you make a promise to God? And he's like, of course I did. And so did you keep the promise? Well, you see, often when we desperately need God, we promise him. Now, I don't want to ask you to make promises tonight. I'm just bringing this up because it's human nature to try to deal with God. But God sets the terms. And when he's kind and he's generous and he's showing compassion and he's saving people from trouble, you know what a good response is? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then another good response is to humble ourselves before him and say, Lord, you are almighty and I am just a servant. Thank you for having mercy on me, your servant. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says about the Lord that he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. 41:10, also in Isaiah, says, don't be afraid because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged because I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. These are the sentiments that we were praying earlier tonight when we prayed Gevurah out of the Amidah. And we were praying, you, O Lord, are mighty forever. You raise the dead. You're mighty to save. You sustain the living with grace. You resurrect the dead with abundant mercy. You uphold the falling. You heal the sick. You set free those in bondage, and you keep faith with those who sleep in the dust. These are sentiments that we're supposed to get inside of us, not to be discouraged, but to understand God wants to break through on our behalf. Isaiah 41, verse 13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Verse 14, don't be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Think about that. Even when Hamas attacks you, the Lord is saying, I myself will help you. He's a pillar of protection. Isaiah 49, verse 8, this is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you, I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people. Matthew 28, verse 17, let me read this to you. This describes what happened when some of the disciples saw Yeshua, who had been raised from the grave. He was resurrected. He had received a new body. It says, when they saw the resurrected Yeshua, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yeshua has all the authority. What does he tell us to do? Go and make disciples. To make a disciple, you've got to be a disciple. Experience the good news, then you can tell others the good news too. Experience the power of God. Pray for other people and their breakthroughs, and it will empower you as well. Teach them to do what I commanded you. Well, do you know what he commanded his disciples to do? Go and proclaim the good news. Go and heal the sick. Go and raise the dead. Go and speak hope to the discouraged. These are the words Yeshua read one day in a synagogue on a Saturday morning. It was from Isaiah 61. He said, this was the prophecy, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Think about this. To proclaim good news to the poor, good news to those in need. Think about your need today and what are the needs of the loved ones that you have. Yeshua read these words at a Torah service on a Saturday morning, and then he said, they have come into fullness now. He said, I am the one who brings this good news to you to bind up the brokenhearted. What is in your heart that needs healing? Let me tell you, he's ready to heal. To proclaim freedom to those in captivity. What freedom do you need? What freedom do you want? What's holding you in captivity? What's holding you in bondage? To release you from darkness. Yeshua said, this is part of his good news. Well, today's a perfect time to turn to the Lord. Maybe someone brought you here today. Maybe you're listening today for the first time. Maybe you haven't been sure about your commitment to the Lord. It's time to come out of darkness and to see things clearly. Darkness will let go of you tonight. It's the year of God's favor. Don't stay in a time of sorrow. Don't stay in last year's season. This is a time of good news for you. It's a time to provide for you, for everyone who hasn't had enough or who suffered loss, who's been barely able to hold on, who hasn't been able to take a hold fully of comfort. The Lord says he wants to provide for all those who grieve in Zion. People grieve for the loss of loved ones, but they grieve for other reasons. And it's interesting, isn't it, that he says he wants to provide for all those who grieve. Maybe you've lost someone. Maybe you've lost something. Maybe you're just feeling like your soul's in trouble because of the difficulties you've gone through. The Lord wants to provide for you. For those who haven't had jobs and have struggled, the Lord wants to provide for you. He wants to heal you. He wants to sustain you. He wants to empower you. Now, I want to close this message with an opportunity for prayer. And this is how I want to begin our 40 days of good news. I want to invite people down here who need prayer and who need someone else to pray with you, who need a breakthrough. You need something from God. You need healing. You need provision. You need courage. You need strength. You need power. Any of the things that we've been talking about. Maybe there's pain. Maybe your heart is troubling you. Maybe you've got sorrows of different kinds. I want to invite Brian and Fran Stone to come down here. They're going to pray. There are some other people who I want to invite as well. Brian, Rose, can you come? Brian, I don't know if this is possible, but while we were worshiping, I felt, if Alex could, is he still here? Okay, he can't. Okay, then it's not possible. Okay, I'm going to invite, I'm going out on a limb on this. Mark Mulvey, I want to invite you to come down. Mark asked me to pray with him recently that he would be bold in speaking to his friends and praying for others. So Mark, you and Brian together, you can pray for people. Chris and Brenda Dorman, can you come down and pray for people too? And Chuck and Barbara, can you pray for some people too? These are some folks the Holy Spirit put on my heart today and tonight. I had some of these names not knowing whether these people would actually be here. So I'm actually glad that they're here. So this is what I want to do. I want to close the service so anybody who needs to go can go. And then I want to invite everyone who wants prayer to come down here. And you can come to the people you want to pray for you. You can even go to more than one. You can go from one to the next if you like. And we'll give them a little space. You guys will need to spread out just a little bit so you can pray and not be distracted by the next person who's nearby to you. And so let's just stand right now. We'll close the service, but we're not closing our time of ministry. Yivarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.